Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Life.
Love.
And health.
Do you know the difference between non-sexual intimacy and non-intimate sex? Well, that makes two of us. Now, I think I know the difference. No, I don't. So let's get the truth and find the answers together with our next guest, Bridget Lank, a clinical psychologist who is also a certified sex addiction therapist who practices in San Rafael, California. Dr. Lank, welcome to Life, Love, and Health.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Okay, what's the difference between non-sexual intimacy and non-intimate sex? Why don't we just sort of define them one at a time and see if there's a point of convergence somewhere in the middle.
Okay. Non-intimate sex seems to be more behavioral related. It is where we see, you know, the sex addiction, sexual compulsion come in. It is a state of disconnection to other people. We'll see isolation and non-connection. This is where we look at attachment patterns for people where we say, you know, these attachment patterns are faulty. In the non-sexual intimacy, we see more of an emotional connection to other people. This is where relationships are granted and where we do see connection. We'll see healthy attachment and a real sense of belonging.
When people come to you with these issues and you essentially make this diagnosis, how do they take the news? Or is it sort of an aha moment like, oh, that's what it is? Do people at that point start to put the pieces together?
They do. The aha actually comes less from awareness of this is what it is and I'm finally able to identify it, but really the relief that people feel in terms of distinguishing the difference between how they behave and who they are.
Why don't you give me some examples of non-intimate sex? Now, the first thing that comes to mind is engaging a prostitute.
Engaging in prostitutes is a great example because I actually, if money is involved, I am actually paying for the person to go away, but essentially I'm paying to not experience intimacy.
Is it really about sex or is it about power or both?
You know, oftentimes sex is not about sex. Sex is about shame, we say. You know, oftentimes there is a felt sense of inadequacy, a psychologist like to call shame, but really a feeling of having no power, you know, really having little or an absence of power that I really do need to overcompensate behaviorally to feel a sense of power. It's kind of like the puffer fish. You know, I'm feeling small, so I engage behaviorally.
So non-intimate sex would also be going into a club that has what are called glory holes and engaging in sex that way.
Engaging in sex that way, engaging in solitary sex through pornography or, you know, other visual stimulation. Oftentimes when there's not a person, or even if there is a person, say, for instance, in prostitution or any sort of bondage or, you know, dominatrix type of engagement, that's a hallmark power dynamic. But oftentimes, I'm not going to experience emotion. I'm not going to experience any emotional vulnerability. Because if I do, that actually might, be an opportunity for me to connect and to attach.
Does non-intimate sex infiltrate a marriage, for example? Does that occur?
Does non-intimate sex infiltrate a marriage? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the hallmark features...
Wham, bam, thank you.
Wham, bam, in a marriage you're talking about.
Yes.
Because the goal in a marriage would be, you know, the non-sexual, the intimacy. That'd be the, that'd be the goal. But oftentimes, yeah, it could be a disparity between, you know, where is the intimacy in the sex?
And very often, there is none.
Very often, there is none. Or very often, the marriage is tested. The relationship is tested for intimacy. So, especially in the early stages of a marriage, you know, that close forming and high passion and high excitability. And there is that sexual attraction, you know, that physiological attraction. And then, where does the intimacy, where do I start to connect emotionally?
Ideally, in an intimate relationship, would both of these conditions, non-sexual intimacy and non-intimate sex, exist and essentially converge or coexist together?
Well, ideally, the intimate piece would, I mean, I think in the marriage, you do want the presence of close emotional intimacy, and you do want sex. But a hallmark feature of intimacy is that emotional intimacy, where there is that connection and that emotional compatibility and that sense of belonging and that sense of we-ness. You know, I think that that non-sexual intimacy is that sense of we-ness, whereas the non-intimate sex is very self-focused.
Our guest is Dr. Bridget Lank, a clinical psychologist who is also a certified sex addiction therapist. She practices in San Rafael, California, just across the bridge from San Francisco. How do people find you, and why do they find you? What is going on in their relationship, or lack thereof, that persuades people, you know, I need some help. I need to, you know, this pattern keeps repeating itself. I can't seem to find any satisfaction from my relationships.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm easily accessible on the web at drlank.com. People find me that way. Oftentimes, people find me in a state of relational crisis. And so oftentimes, I will have partners who have been affected by a consequence of their partner acting out, an infidelity, a sexual compulsive behavior. Or, you know, I'm just not feeling close. Our marriage has grown apart. We seem to be, you know, our marriage has changed. You know, we're not partners anymore. We feel like roommates. Or we're co-parenting really well, but the partnership has changed. So I will look at relationships in all different stages, but oftentimes a crisis where the two folks have really been severed apart, and the work is to reunify.
Is there a prevention component here? Can this be avoided or evaded before a crisis occurs? And actually, a crisis isn't necessarily bad. I mean, you know, actually, it can be quite a positive, pivotal mm-hmm. opportunity. Mm-hmm. What about prevention? You know, do you see people on a regular basis who are very serious about maintaining a successful relationship and also intimacy, who utilize your services to become better partners?
Sure. Yeah, I think that part of the prevention might actually kind of go back to the question you asked earlier about is sex addiction about sex. I think we want to start to look at attachment. And so I think to have some sense of what your own attachment wounds are, you know, what your own attachment injuries are, as well as that of your partner, and knowing that from the outset in terms of what can trigger that disconnection.
Oh, the classic triggers again.
The classic triggers again.
This keeps happening over and over again. Gee, there must be a reason, so let's identify the triggers, and then I can recognize them and deal with them as they come up.
Absolutely.
And that should be, what might those triggers be?
Well, oftentimes triggers, as we know, are often traced, when we're looking at attachment wounds and triggers, they're often traced to early childhood, oftentimes in emotional abuse or emotional neglect, sometimes physical abuse and oftentimes physical neglect. But when we look at relational traumas and relational attachment wounds, we look at, shame-based belief systems that come from when kids feel a felt sense of inadequacy or rejection or dismissal.
We've been discussing the difference between non-sexual intimacy and non-intimate sex with clinical psychologist Dr. Bridget Lank, who is also a certified sex addiction therapist who practices in San Rafael, California. You can learn more about Dr. Lank's work at her website, www.drlank, that's drlank.com. Dr. Lank, thank you so much for joining us today on Life, Love, and Health.
My pleasure. Thank you, Christopher.
I'm Christopher Springman, and this is Radio MD.